the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources. This is May the 30th, 1985. It is 8 o'clock. We're in hearing room B. We're having a work session on Senate Bill 870 relating to beverage containers. We're having a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2766 relating to trapping. House Bill 2035 relating to wildlife laws. House Bill 2702 relating to wildlife law enforcement. House Bill 2872 relating to wildlife. And this is Committee Assistant Maria Mesa.
Order. We're going to start today with the public hearing on House Bill 2766, which relates to trapper education.
Thank you.
Maria, can you bring me the sign up sheet for 2766? Rod Harder. Maybe Mr. Harder wants to come up with Mr. Ginty.
Garrity.
I'm sorry. Mr. Art Garrity. And Shirley Garrity, do you want to come up too? There's room for three at the table, and I think you all agree, so we might have you all up at the same time.
No.
Good morning. You can identify yourself for the record if you would, and proceed, please.
My name is Rod Harder, and I'm the Oregon State Organizer for Fur Takers of America. I live in Blatchley, Oregon, which is Senate District 22 for identification. Senator Bradbury, Senator Day, we came this morning with 10 people to testify as opposed to the 40, and that's because I talked it over with Jeff, and he thought that was the way to go.
So it certainly enhances your case for this bill.
As I said, I'm the Oregon State Organizer for Fur Takers of America, and as such, I represent all the organized trappers in the state of Oregon. I also serve on the Board of Directors of the American Fur Resources Institute in Washington, D.C., National Board of Governors of Fur Takers of America, and the Board of Directors of Oregon Fur Takers Chapter 11. When I have time, I make my living raising livestock, and during the winter months, I'm a full-time fur trapper. Pleased to be here today to testify in support of this bill, which has been sponsored at my request on behalf of Oregon Fur Takers. We believe that trapper education is extremely important. We know that we have problems within our own ranks, and by various methods, we've been attempting to address them. Oregon Fur Takers believes that we must have a mandatory trapper education program in this state. The vast majority of states now require that some type of course be completed prior to licensing. We know that the majority of problems and bad publicity for the trapping community are caused by trappers new to the pursuit and not well-versed in proper methodology. We also recognize that we're operating in a climate of severe fiscal restraint for both the Department of Fish and Wildlife and for the trapper. Our proposal has been drafted with these realities in mind. We believe that this bill will approach the existing problems with the least possible cost. In this regard, we propose that only new recruitment into trapping and those presently licensed under the age of 18 be required to complete the course. This is the third time trappers have been to the legislature with a request for a state-sanctioned program. Mm-hmm. First time in 1979, Department of Fish and Wildlife was directed to conduct a voluntary program and report to the 61st session. This time, Oregon Fur Takers asked for a $4 increase in license fees to fund the program. We got the increase in fees, but not the program. The interim ballot measure 5, the anti-trapping referendum, added urgency to our request. One of the major points we were attacked on was the fact that there was no requirement similar to the hunter safety course for trappers. We asked the Department of Fish and Wildlife to submit the bill in 1981, and it passed the House with little problem. It was defeated on the floor of the Senate for a variety of reasons. Oregon Fur Takers has conducted voluntary trapper training classes at fur sales and at our chapter meetings and annual rendezvous. These attempts have been only marginally successful because those individuals attending our courses are usually already well-versed in the concept which we're attempting to promote. We need to reach and educate those people who are not affiliated with Fur Takers. Mandatory program is the only method which we can reach them. We don't advocate teaching advanced trapping methods. What we propose is to teach trapping ethics, humane methods, basic fur boa management, and basic fur handling. In other words, how to catch the target animal and how to treat it as well as possible after it's caught. Program, as we've proposed it to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, allows them the maximum latitude possible in developing the course. The department has sample courses from several states, and I have furnished them with the National Trappers Association training manual and text. They also have a correspondence course presently being used in California for a guide. Oregon Fur Takers has solicited volunteers from all areas of the state who have agreed to act as instructors of this course without compensation. In areas where no instructor is available, we perceive that completion of the home study course would satisfy the requirements. The anti-trapping initiative in 1980 cost Oregon taxpayers $65,000 to have the measure placed on the ballot. Nearly $500,000 was spent by opposing sides to add a measure. The startup cost of this program is less than half of the cost of placing a ballot measure before the voters. And I'm talking about the 65 and not the half of the
ballot.
I'm advised by the department that maintenance costs should be about $12,000 per year. Oregon trappers have been paying for this course since 1979. We believe implementation of this program is an attempt at self-regulation that will prevent many of the type incidents which precipitated ballot measure 5. Making your decision on this request, I ask that you consider trappers' historic contribution to Oregon agriculture, forestry, and wildlife management. We want to continue to contribute in the future, and we're asking you to help us do that. Thank you very much.
Questions for Mr. Harder? I just want to say one thing. I was on the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee when you came before that committee, either last session or the session before. I really appreciate what I think is a very responsible position that your organization is taking and trying to, you know, make sure that things are done properly. And I appreciated that before, and I appreciate it again.
Well, thank you, sir.
Senator Day.
Who else do we have to testify on this matter?
Well, we have a whole series, but first of all, we have Representative Campbell here, who I want to ask okay. Mr. Harder. If there are no questions for Mr. Harder, I'd ask that you let Representative Campbell take your seat. And we want to hear from Representative Campbell.
Thank you.
Is there opposition to the bill?
No one signed up in opposition.
No one in opposition.
I see. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I may address the chair after Representative Campbell.
Representative Larry Campbell, 43rd District. Mr. Chair, I'm really not going to add very much because Mr. Harder has done an excellent job of giving you the testimony that I provided on the House side on this particular measure. And I am supportive of the measure, and I think you took the second part of my presentation by complimenting these folks on taking a positive step forward in trying to correct some problems that have been identified. And I would hope that the Senate would react in a manner similar to the way the House did on this particular issue and provide the opportunity to give it an education to people that are going to be out doing the trapping in the state of Oregon. So I merely am here to add my support, and I would be more than happy to respond to any questions and take any verbal abuse that the senator on my left
wants to dig
like
out. Senator Gay, do you have any verbal abuse?
I'm
going
to make a motion to move the bill.
Thank you very much.
Well, why don't we go ahead and hear from Mr. and Mrs. Garrity?
Oh, of course.
And then we can ask the other people whether they want to testify or whether what's important to them is to have the bill moved out.
Yeah.
Please proceed.
My name is Art Garrity. I'm 748 South 7th in Lakeview, Oregon. And all I want to do is to reiterate what Rod said. And that we are trying pretty hard to make trapping much more acceptable to the public, and mainly because of ballot measure 5 really woke us up, and we do appreciate what helped to get here in the States. Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Garrity?
I'm Shirley Garrity, and I live at 748 South 7th Lakeview, and I wholeheartedly support my husband and Oregon Fur Takers.
Good deal.
Thank you both for coming today. Appreciate your coming all this way. I have to tell the rest of the witnesses that I think that I would think I would describe the mood of this committee as one that is ready to move this bill out to the floor. If anyone would like to testify, I know some of you have come from a long distance, and I certainly would like to hear from you. If you're all here to support the bill, does anyone have anything to add that would influence to move the bill faster? Okay. I did have one, Mr. Harder, maybe I did have one question. Now, it's my understanding the way the bill is drafted, you can get a trapper's license or certified as being properly educated either through attending a trapper education course or through a correspondence course for those people who live away from where there might be one of these trapper education courses.
That's correct. I think it's boiled down now to where it's going to be, at least initially, a correspondence course for everyone until we can get the thing cranked up and make some adjustments. But initially, it's going to be, as I understand it, from
official,
a home study type course with the test being taken at one of the Fish and Wildlife Service offices.
Okay. So, basically, when you say Fish and Wildlife Service offices, can you explain what you mean? I'm just trying to get a feel for how far people from Brookings would have to
be. I understand, yes. Perhaps Robert Russo would be better able to...
Fine. Mr. Russo?
Mr. Russo, could you join us? You could even bring your coffee.
Yeah, you're allowed to. It's all right.
Yeah.
My only question is, okay, we're going to do this trapper education by mail initially, and then maybe through courses later. Where would the tests be taken?
Mr. Chairman, Raleigh Russo, Department of Fish and Wildlife. The tests would be offered or be available at any of our regional or district offices, which are located pretty well in most areas of the state.
Regional or district offices. So any place where there's a district, any place there's a district biologist, there's a DB?
Yes.
And that's a district office?
Particularly in the remote areas where we have DBs like in Brookings or Gold Beach.
You finally got it in there, pal. Is Gold Beach and Brookings covered, Mr. Russo?
Gold Beach. Thank you, Russo.
I don't think we have an office in Florida, though.
No, I don't think you do. Senator Day would... move House Bill, we'll close the hearing, open the work session. Senator Day would move House Bill 2766 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
You know, I think, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to pay a special thanks because I think they've worked very hard on this, and it's a credit to them that you get this kind of action because you have worked hard. It's once in a while, hard work pays off.
We appreciate that.
Question.
Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Senator Day, would you be kind enough to...
I'd be happy to do it. You bet.
I want to just say I appreciate all the other people who came here to testify. I hope you're not frustrated by not being able to testify, but I think we took the action you wanted us to, so...
Got your bill.
Thank you very much for coming over today, and I'm sorry we didn't hear you, but I think we took the action you wanted, so that's just fine. Okay, you want to... Let's see. Okay. Open the hearing on 2872. Okay. Tim Willis, Audubon Society of Corvallis.
What number is this, Mr. Chairman?
2872.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tate London. I work with Senator Cliff Trow.
Oh, welcome. Okay.
And I thought we'd bring up Mr. Tim Willis.
Excellent.
And Mr. Merlin Elstrath to give you the particulars of the bill.
Good. Thank you.
Identify yourself for the record, please, and proceed.
Okay. My name is Tim Willis. I'm from Corvallis, and I'm representing the Corvallis Audubon Society. Mr. Chairman and committee members, I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to speak in favor of House Bill 2872. I know that time's short, and I'll try to abbreviate my remarks. I'm having my testimony passed out. basically, the bill is being proposed because the existing ORS 498.012 gives no indication of the federal protection given non-game birds under the Federal Migratory Bird Treaty Act. I think what's unfortunate about this is that it promotes the perception that, that non-game birds are not protected by law, and that could very easily lead a landowner into believing that that because he has no warning about that, that he could inadvertently violate the law by shooting some bird that is protected under this federal act. Before the House committee, there was no testimony in opposition to this bill. We were before the House Agricultural, Forestry, and Natural Resources Committee. The committee unanimously voted it out with a due pass recommendation. The floor vote was also unanimous, 55 to nothing. We have considerable support throughout the state for the bill, including the Cape Arago Audubon Chapter, the Audubon Chapter in the Calmeopsis Audubon Chapter, the Audubon Chapters in Lane County, Portland, and Salem. Also the Yaquina Birders and Naturalists. We provided a list of the other organizations that support this bill. We've also provided you with a fact sheet which provides what the bill does do and what the bill does not do. It's our opinion that the physical impact of the bill would be minimal. The Oregon State Police are already investigating game violations and would continue to do that. There are also the two agencies, the state and federal fish and wildlife agencies, that are working and have programs that, that work with landowners on complaints of animal depredation. Essentially, we think this is a housekeeping measure, but it's important. It eliminates confusion under the existing statute, would give notice to landowners of the federal law, promote the enforcement of the law, not increase red tape. There'd be no new bureaucracy, no new permit requirements, and would also assist the Audubon Society in our attempt to educate the citizens of Oregon about protected bird species. I think Mr. Ellsroth, he's a bird rehabilitator in Corvallis and has some information on what he's seen as far as the problem goes.
Thank you very much. Identify yourself for the record, proceed, please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Merlin Ellsroth. My home is in Corvallis, and my wife and I have both state and federal permits for rehabilitation of wild birds. I'm glad for this opportunity to present my views to you and the committee on House Bill 2872. Several years ago, the Corvallis chapter of the National Audubon Society became concerned that there was a considerable amount of deliberate shooting of protected birds. Since 1976, my wife and I have treated dozens of birds of 22 different species that were injured by shooting. In addition, we know of several more birds of seven or more species that were shot dead. Nearly all of these birds were from Benton or Lynn counties, the only counties we try to cover. There's no accurate record of the total number of shootings throughout the state, but only a few of the injured birds are brought to veterinarians or rehabilitators for treatment. It is believed, however, that these number hundreds each year. On looking into possible reasons for the shooting, I discovered that Oregon Statute 498.012 requires a state permit for the taking of game birds and endangered species when found damaging land, livestock, agricultural, or forest crops, but this statute protects no other birds. In Oregon, the only endangered species are the Aleutian Canada goose, the peregrine falcon, and the brown pelican. Game birds is defined in Oregon Statute 496.007, number 55 species, although not all are hunted. The three endangered species plus the 55 game birds account for only 17% of the 340 or so species which regularly breed or winter here or pass through twice a year in migration. These 340 species are defined as migratory birds under the Migratory Bird Treaty signed with Canada and Mexico in 1972. Federal laws, specifically 50 CFR 10 and 50 CFR 21, based upon the treaty, protect all wild birds in the United States except the starling, the house or English sparrow, and the rock dove, which is a feral pigeon, and the upland game birds such as chucker, quail, and pheasant, for example, which are state protected. The synopses of Oregon game bird regulations and the game mammal regulations provided to hunters both point out that, quote, all birds except the starling and house sparrow are protected by federal and or state laws, end quote. Furthermore, Oregon Administrative Rule 635-44-130 reads, quote, "It is unlawful for any person to hunt, trap, pursue, kill, or take any non-game bird except starling and house sparrow," end quote. I've been informed that Oregon administrative rules are enforced, as are the Oregon statutes, but 498.012 protects no birds other than game birds and endangered species, while the administrative rule protects all birds except starling and house sparrow. It should be noted that the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife routinely refers all migratory bird problems to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. There is yet another problem. Despite the provisions of line 9, 10, 11 of the existing statute, the Wildlife Commission does not have the authority to issue a permit to take any endangered species listed in the federal regulation. That's under 50 CFR 17. Regarding problem critters, both state and federal law recognize that farmers, ranchers, or foresters can suffer damage from depredating birds and animals. Hence, there are numerous provisions in the laws which allow exceptions to the basic protection. For example, speaking first of migratory birds, no permit is required to control blackbirds, cowbirds, crows, and magpies when found committing or about to commit depredations on crops, livestock, or wildlife, or when concentrated in such numbers as to constitute a health hazard or other nuisance. That's under 50 CFR 21.43. It should also be noted that there is a hunting season on crows. That's in the Oregon Game Bird Regulations. No permit is required for nut growers to control jays from August 1st to December 1st every year in all counties bordering the Willamette River, 50 CFR 21.46. No federal permit is required to haze waterfowl or other non-endangered birds from ponds, crops, or lands, according to 50 CFR 2142. U.S. Fish and Wildlife permits may be obtained for taking depredating waterfowl, 50 CFR 2142, eagles, 50 CFR 2223, hawks, herons, robins, and most migratory birds, 50 CFR 2141. Recall that house sparrows, starlings, and feral pigeons are unprotected. Permits for depredating pheasant, quail, chucker, and so on fall within the jurisdiction of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. To say that these laws are complex is perhaps an understatement. I don't want to dwell on the federal law any longer, but it cannot be ignored. ORS 498.012 does not meet the minimum requirements of the U.S. Code, which has precedence. 50 CFR 10.3. It is not the purpose or intent of this bill to impose any additional restrictions on the farm, ranch, or forest community, nor to increase the amount of red tape for those who seek to control wildlife depredations. In this amendment, the word non-game wildlife is used to include migratory birds. The term non-game, when coupled with lines 8 and 9 of House Bill 2872, applies only to species protected by federal or state regulations. It does not include predatory animals as defined in Oregon Statute 610.002, nor noxious rodents as defined in Oregon Statute 610.105, nor other unprotected animals. Collectively, predators, rodents, and unprotected animals include coyotes, rabbits, gophers, moles, voles, rats, mice, opossums, shrews, bats, mountain beavers, porcupines, nutria, marmots, lynx, skunks, badgers, weasels, and ground squirrels except golden mantled. As you have probably already noted, no permit is required to control depredating bear, bobcat, cougar, or red fox. That's in the Basic Oregon Statute 498.012. Silver gray squirrels are game animals, but more than half of their range has no closed season or bag limit. Of the other tree-dwelling squirrels, only the chicoree and flying squirrel are protected by Oregon Administrative Rule 635-44-135. I am of the opinion that most farmers, foresters, and ranchers respect wildlife, and I think that most citizens would prefer to know what the laws are in order to stay out of trouble. I also think that because Oregon Statute 498.012 is silent about the protection of non-game birds, a general impression does exist throughout the state that those birds are not protected. This may account for a lot of the illegally shot birds which are brought to my doorstep. I feel House Bill 2872 is necessary and useful, It imposes no additional restrictions or burdens on Oregonians and brings Oregon statute in line with the federal law. Therefore, I respectfully ask that you consider it favorably.
Questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. I'd like to call Don Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am just be very brief. I got interested in this
subject.
I'm sorry. Don Hall, Corvallis.
Great, thank you.
I'm interested in this subject out of many years of experience as a reporter and a columnist, where it repeatedly came up that there would be instances of birds being shot and not really a good explanation for it. And I normally be in the position of trying to explain why this happened. There was always an element of confusion there with the public, I think. And anyway, in the future, I would really like to be able to write that birds are protected by state law and not try to distinguish whether it's state or federal or what isn't. And know that persons accused of shooting, say, a hawk or an owl would be cited to our state court in view of the local media and rather than being brought before a federal magistrate some city at a distance. So that's basically my interest in this bill.
I had a question for you. Are you, in terms of enforcement, do the Oregon State Game Enforcement Officers, they presumably don't enforce federal law, or do they? I guess that's...
They investigate them in a cooperative, but I don't think they can...
They can't cite someone for a violation of federal law, or can they? Any of you know the answer to that?
My understanding is that the state police has always investigated these cases and then turned the investigation over to the federal magistrate.
Hi, Mr. Heiger?
Yes, sir.
Great. I had a question about what is the role of the state police? Well, the situation we have here is a federal law that affects these species, but no state law that affects them. What is the role of the state police in enforcing the federal law, if any?
For the record, my name is Roy Heider, Major of the Game Division, Oregon State Police. Normally, the role of state police in enforcing federal law is none. And respective to this question of federally protected birds, that is a federal enforcement action. We exchange information with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife agents, but there are federally filed actions in federal district court, normally in Portland, as opposed to a state criminal action filed in a local court, cited by the local officer, prosecuted by the county district attorney.
May I ask you one? Are you or any of the officers you work with, are there violations that you're aware of federal law, you know, that really very little happens because the federal enforcement structure is clearly not as far-reaching as the state enforcement structure here in the state of Oregon? Are there things that just kind of get skipped because we have the federal government enforcing it rather than the state government?
Senator Bradbury, without throwing any discredit on U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
No, I didn't mean it as a...
Who, I believe, do an excellent job. However, only have one agent for the whole Central Willamette Valley. There are occasions when we'll pass information to them, and they just simply can't get to it until the case is so old that there's very little that, for all practical purposes, can be accomplished. Another problem they have is that the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Portland District Office has a cut line on cases, as all prosecuting attorneys are nowadays. Too many cases, not enough attorneys. And a lot of times these are more minor cases and they just drop off the bottom.
Right.
It would be probably an additional enforcement aspect to protecting these birds if state law was in line with federal law.
Just one final question. Does the does your game division have any position on this bill, or are you supportive of it, or are you concerned about it? What's your position?
We support the bill.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions, Mr. Hyder?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hamby.
What might be the penalty provision for a, I don't notice it in the bill, whatever the reference, what kind of penalty might someone face?
Chairman Bradbury, Senator Hamby. The penalty would be Class A misdemeanor, as with all other
Class A
game violations. Maximum fine, $2,500 or 1 year in jail. The for practical purposes, the fine would probably seldom exceed over $150 or $200. In the case of an eagle, which people are very interested in, I would expect the fine may be higher.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you both very much. Appreciate it. I'd like to call David McManaman.
Morning.
Good morning.
Identify yourself for the record, please, and proceed.
My name is David McManaman. I live at Corvallis, Oregon, and I am retired from the Department of State Police. 7 years as a game enforcement officer and 17 years as a supervisor of game enforcement duties. I wish to speak in favor of this this bill also. In my year